During the process of the Coming of Age program, every activity we did made me think. I thought about my religion, my values, and my ideas on God. In one way or another, every activity we did was related to these topics. I learned many new things about myself and my beliefs. When doing the City Reach Retreat this past December, I really gained a new outlook on life. Seeing and learning about people's struggles really made me be grateful and cherish the moments and opportunities I'm lucky to have. I learned that in the blink of an eye, you can lose almost everything. But even after these people lost their home, money, or family, they seem to have never lost their faith. Even though these people go through tremendous life-changing events, just by believing in God and having faith, they can survive and stay positive. That experience made me thankful for what I have, and I will never forget it. It taught me to never lose my faith because one day it might be all I have left. During a recent solo retreat in New Hampshire, we were told to think about our beliefs, and I made some progress. I can't really say what my set beliefs are yet because I am young and my life is still changing, but I can say one thing for sure. I believe that all people are born good and happy. As a person makes their way through life, they decide what to do with their happiness. The people around them and their surroundings also determine their happiness. I believe in love and living in the moment. I also think that if you believe, God can help you through life and through hard times. I know that in the years to come, I will be discovering new ideas and new facts about my religion. My beliefs may change or stay the same, but I will always be learning new things from my culture and my surroundings.
Hello, my name is Clem Tarpey.
For much of my life, I've chosen to identify myself as an atheist, dismissing the ideas of God and religion in its various forms as fiction. Fiction created by humans who didn't understand the world they lived in, looking for answers where none could be found. In my mind, religion had only ever served to cause conflict. In my eyes, it could do no good. I felt this way right up until the beginning of this coming-of-age program. I held a hatred of religion and God, but I had never stopped to consider where it stemmed from. I've realized that the values I rejected had eclipsed the values I held dear, and I saw just how closed-minded I was. My moment of clarity came on the trip we took to experience an outreach program called Common Cathedral. Their self-proclaimed mission being to provide a congregation to both homeless and housed people who meet weekly on the Boston Common for a worship service year-round, regardless of the weather. Everyone came away with a poignant story and a new perspective. For me, I was heavily impacted by a man named Lee. Lee was a big guy. At 6'4", it was easy to imagine that he was at one time a talented football player, filled with aspirations and tenacity. He was also an incredibly warm and jovial man. For me, it was harder to picture him in the muddy fatigues of a Marine fighting in the Vietnam War. Lee lost many of his brothers in that war, and when he returned, he found that his family had either lost the means or the ability to care for him, and he wound up on the streets of Boston. Lee's story is a sad one, but it has a happy ending. He found a home and has remained a dedicated member of Common Cathedral program. But I couldn't understand why until our group took part in the worship service on the Boston Commons. We joined others, both homeless and housed, and we shared what had made us thankful for the day. And at the end, we thanked God for giving us that small miracle that had made us joyful. Here I was, a privileged member of Concord Society, standing together with the homeless population of Boston, saying the G word. This was the first time that I'd witnessed and accepted the idea that religion can be a force of good and a source of happiness. It can mend the broken as long as there exists a community of loving people to lean on. For me, religion is interchangeable with community. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Wyatt Pascoe. Over these past few months, we have been given to further our beliefs and really formulate our views on the world. I began to realize that life isn't about finding all the answers. So many people go through their lives constantly wanting to know what this means and what that means. I used to be the type of person that was constantly questioning our faith and what the meaning of life was. However, one day I stopped and thought, does it really matter where we come from? All these people getting into fights about whether what form of God we were created by or what miracle of science we formed out of, do any of these really matter? In my eyes, the fact of the matter is, why waste time on trying to figure out how we got here and instead take advantage of the near impossible probability that you and me both are here today? If there is a God somewhere out there, how could he let these people misconstrue his word of good into ostracizing any of those around him who don't share the same belief? To look on the news and see families being torn apart and innocent people being murdered makes me upset beyond a point I thought was even possible. The other day, as I was talking to my father, he told me about my cousin who had recently came out. It took him so long to finally open up to the world for fear of what those would think of him. My feeling of proudness was quickly overcome by anger as I learned his mother told him he was going to burn in hell. A mother, the one who's supposed to love you from the moment she holds you in her arms for the first time till the moment she takes her last breath. Sadly, in this case, she cannot overcome her set of beliefs and will resent him for the rest of her life due to the fact that her religion does not teach acceptance. In the end, in reality, does it really matter where we're going? Whether we're dining in heaven with the angels or gone without the ability to have a thought pass through our brain ever again, none of that matters. What matters is that we take advantage of the short life that we're given and enjoy the time with those around us. We all just need to pause and embrace the short yet elegant time we have left on this beautifully complicated earth and not waste our lives fighting over something that in the end could mean simply nothing.
Hello, my name is Jack Peterson. COA has shown me a variety of ways of why people need a religion or a belief in a higher power in their life. The most common theme I've noticed is the question, what happens when I die? And I think I have found my answer to this question. I don't care. I have too many things going on in my life right now, such as winter percussion, schoolwork, and a social life, to need the extra stress of worrying about whether I'll go to heaven or hell. So, I think I've found a solution to this as well. I live in the present. I go through each day with my mindset on what's in front of me now, rather than what will be in front of me later. I live each day as a new adventure, rather than one more step to an ultimate goal. I have found that I get to enjoy more simple pleasures in life for this way of thinking. I've also found that there is no reason to worry, because you can't change the past. You can't know the future, leaving you with only the present. So in conclusion, I believe that this life is too short to start thinking about the next.
Hello, my name is Luke Pillay. During our coming-of-age program, we received a tour of the church from Reverend Dana. As he was telling us about the famous authors who once sat in the pews that we sit in today, he said one phrase that I still haven't forgotten. I believe it was the quote from one of the authors. He said, "Are you becoming the person who you want to be?" That caught my attention, and it stuck with me. It began to consume my thoughts. Am I becoming that person? But more importantly, who is that person? It bothered me for a while, and I started having disagreements with myself on who I wanted to be. What was my purpose in life? Why was I here? What did I believe in? A person's beliefs can vary immensely. At this point in my life, I'm still not completely sure what I believe in, but I do know a few things that I believe. I believe that no matter where you came from, everyone is morally equal. I believe that the choices you make will affect your life later. And I believe that having a strong connections and relationships is one of the most important things in life. But most of all, I believe that everyone was put on this earth for a reason, and it's my job to figure out what that reason was for me. The quest to find that reason is a long one and can take years, but as long as it takes, I'm determined to find an answer and won't feel complete until I do. I thought about what makes me feel closest to who I really am, hoping that they may bring me closer to a conclusion, and it did help a lot. I also know that I want to be a good person, but when it comes to being good, it's very confusing. In this world, people barely notice the good things. It's the bad that everyone focuses on. So to be considered a good person, You have to do such an immense amount of good for the world that it overshadows the small amount of bad things that you've done in your lifetime. Everyone is pushed away from the place that they began their journey. When this happens to me, I want to be remembered as a morally good person. I want to be someone who people remember in a positive way. I still have a long journey until I find what I believe in. But what makes the destination is not determined by what is there in the end, but by what happens along the way. Thank you.
I'm under the general impression that listening to people talk for long periods of time is boring. And for those of you who would wish me to ramble on about my beliefs, know that I am a very wordy person and would like nothing more than to do just that. For sanity and memorability, however, on your part and mine, I've decided to sum it all up into two key points. I don't believe in God. Sometimes I wish I did, and that there could be an explanation for the things I don't understand. But I've always found that if you look close enough, there isn't anything you don't understand. Not completely. It's just things you don't want to understand. So really, despite its many practical uses, God is not something I've ever strived to obtain. With that out of the way, we will now move on to point two. I am afraid of death. Yes, I am absolutely terrified of the thought of oblivion, a lack of consciousness, being devoid of everything that defines me. Even saying these words sends a shiver down my spine. This is where we briefly revisit my previous statement. Although an afterlife and God are not strictly related, as far as I'm concerned, one cannot exist without the other. This leaves me with a dilemma of existential proportions. One day, I am going to die, and everything that I have ever done will be forgotten, and I will cease to exist, and there is absolutely nothing I can do about it. Now to discuss the solo. For those of you who noticed that this was not counted in the aforementioned list of topics, I apologize. The inherent linearity of writing that requires predictions of the future on a sentence-by-sentence basis is a hard art to master. And no, you can't just go back and edit it, as that might disturb the time stream. Anyway, now that I've wasted a good 7 lines or so on tangents, we can return to the topic of my solo. I had the greatest spot anybody could have asked for. Shout out to Laurel for helping me find it. I was situated on a frozen marsh, covered in snow, surrounded by trees, and an adequate distance from anyone else. I had only one goal in mind for the solo, to come to terms with the impermanence of my existence. This may seem like an intimidating task, but in reality, it seemed to be over within 10 minutes. I just slid around in the ice on my boots, sang when I wanted to, and then sat down and said, "You're gonna die, so you might as well live to uphold what you think is right and to make people happy." Then I went and found some rocks and built a cairn on the ice to represent human mortality. Eventually, come spring, the ice will melt, the cairn will sink, but the stones, they will always be there, an eternal tribute to what once was. The remainder of my solo was spent sliding around the ice, singing, whistling, and generally having the time of my life. The cold weather hardly bothered me, and when it was last time to return, I felt as though my time of freedom had been all too short. My name is Emmett Heath Kerber-Nunes. I am mortal, and so I am dying, but I am happy, and so I am fully, drastically, irrevocably, irrepressibly, indisputably, undeniably, uncontrollably alive. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ben Sullivan. When I was told I was going to have to write a credo, I didn't really have any idea what I was going to write about. I had never closely examined my beliefs, and even now, I'm still not sure what I believe. As you would expect, it's kind of complicated. So I decided that instead of trying to figure it out all at once, I'd tackle one issue in particular, what I view as good and evil. Personally, I believe that there is a lot of bad in the world. You see it constantly on the news and on the radio, people doing awful things to each other for no reason. I think it's bad when people physically harm others without cause. Why would you want to do that to another person? It's also awful when people hurt each other emotionally on purpose. You should never say or do anything just to get people upset. And of course, I believe that you should never have to kill anybody. That's just something wrong. Sadly, many people do say and do bad things without thinking about it. Thankfully, there is also a lot of good in the world as well. On the news, those small, short segments about good deeds of people, communities pulling together to help others, people risking their lives for someone they've never met, and can restore some faith in humanity. Things like that are what I think of as good, when people are completely selfless towards others, when they do all that they can and then some. That is what I see as good. Of course, there will always be gray areas in what I think of as good and evil, but I hope that I can use what I've come up with now to help me decide on things later on and help me form a positive views of the world. I'd like to thank everybody here today for listening and really thank anyone and everyone who has been involved with me growing up in the church. Involved helped me so much. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Ben. I'm Toad, otherwise known as Ben. This year, my mom made her New Year's resolution, ready? Not to say anything negative about anyone. Yeah. And you know what? I think the more impressive thing is that she's actually kept it. I would ask you to give her a hand, but we're in a church, so. So, to shake things up, a quick show of hands. Raise your hand and be honest. If you've said anything negative about anyone within the past week. Yeah, okay. Now, raise your hand. Raise your hand again if you believe in a higher power or force or deity or anything like that. Yeah, okay. And now, raise your hand, and I'll make this one a little bit easier. Raise your hand if you've said anything negative about that higher power or deity in, say, the last 7 days or so. Minus cries of, oh, God, or that sort of thing. Okay, so technically, according to what I'm about to say, you're all liars. I mean that in the most respectful way possible. But now that those have been addressed, I can more or less get to my point. So you hear people talk about everyone's inherent worth and dignity. So what does that even mean? Well, I can tell you what it means to me, because I can't even think about telling you what those guys in powdered wigs back in the day thought when they wrote it down. But to me, it means that everyone is inherently worthy of being treated with the same respect that you would treat your best friend, and that everyone can have the dignity to treat others that way. And here's why. Did you know that every atom and every particle that makes up you and you and you and that guy, you in the suit jacket and the glasses and the blue shirt, they all came from a star somewhere in the universe that exploded in a giant supernova and spread its particles all around the universe. And eventually they found their way to this area and formed a... What's your name? Who?
Ted.
Okay. So they all formed Ted here. And all the atoms in Ted's star, they were formed by another star that exploded some other time before that. And another star exploded before that to form that star, and that formed that star, and so on and so forth, until all of Ted's atoms and particles can be traced back to be in the singularity, which is that little ball of everything that exploded to create the universe, if you believe in that kind of thing. So, if you want a god, that's about as good as you can get. All hail Ted, creator of the universe. There you go. But that's all well and good, but sorry, Ted, that doesn't only apply to you. It applies to everyone in this room, in this town, in this country, city, galaxy, universe, anything like that. But, so, yeah. I mean, at this point, you must think I'm all crazy, calling you all liars and then calling you all the deities of the universe. But, that's my point. If you've never talked negatively about your deity, because I didn't see a lot of hands when I asked that one, then what's your excuse to talk negatively to Ted here, or to you, or you, or especially you? I mean, y'all came from the same singularity. I've just proven you guys all created the universe, and the problem is, we'll probably just go home after this, and as us darn kids these days say, trash talk someone. So, obviously, I'm not going to ask you or me to never again speak negatively about anyone. Only the great Anna Huckabee Tull can do that. But I am going to ask you to think the next time that you're about to complain to your friend that Darn old Mike next door always throws these obnoxiously loud parties all the time, and or Jason's snowblower always blows snow back into your yard. And you're about to tell someone what terrible people they are. Well, think about it. You're all from the same singularity. You're all technically deities, and, well, both of you have the inherent worth and dignity to treat each other like best friends, no matter how many times their gosh darn dog barks all night. Because would you disrespect what you deify? The UU benediction states that you should honor all beings. I can't begin to tell you what those guys with powdered wigs back in the day meant when they wrote it down, but I can tell you what it means to me. To me, it means, plain and simple, that you should respect everyone, regardless of who they are, where they came from, what they do, and it means that you should honor everyone as you would your deity. Thank you for bearing with me.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Netta Kafka. On December 14th, 2014, Bruce Kafka, my grandfather, a man who loved those he let in with incredible passion and happiness, passed away after a short battle with metastatic small cell lung cancer. Here, 2 months later, I stand before you, asked to share with you what I believe in at this moment, what factors guide and give meaning to my life. During my solo at Camp Dakota in January, I discovered that when I really thought about it, I do not believe in just one thing, one quality, or one idea. But I think that what I am about to share with you is an umbrella for countless concepts and motives that I too hold faith in. As my grandpa lay on his deathbed, weak and on the brink of the end, I was exposed firsthand to what love between people can do. When the nurses said he could be gone in a few hours, Grandpa, motivated by the love he was surrounded with and the laughter filling the room even at these most unfortunate of times, got a second wind. This, a testament to the power of love, has also helped me realize that love is the greatest gift whatever created the universe gave us, and I know I am better off knowing and loving people and being heartbroken by their departure than not loving at all. As I begin to realize the importance and great gift of love, my feelings about the fact that no one should be denied the opportunity or right to love based on the color of their skin, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, socioeconomic status, or any other criteria strengthens. That no one person or group of people has the right to tell others who to love and how, because without love, I believe life is not worth living. To answer the question we were asked throughout the coming of age program more clearly, I end with this. I believe in love, divine, selfless, vigorous, intense, unalienable love. I believe that no one should be denied love as it is the most wonderful gift. I believe that William Blake, 18th century English poet, said it better than I ever could. If something loves, it is infinite. Thank you.
I'm Rosie Jimenez. First sitting down and thinking about it, I didn't think I knew what I believed in. After considering it for a while, though, I realized I'm not completely clueless. I believe in love. I believe that there is a force influencing everything that is happening. I don't necessarily believe that force is a god, but there is something. What I believe in is constantly changing, just as I am constantly changing. I'm learning new things that change my perspective on life and what I believe. Love is defined as an intense feeling of deep affection. The word love is so commonly used, it's hard to think of my own definition for it. The first thing I think of is that love is an attachment to another person that makes me feel like I have a purpose. It is a feeling of wholeness. Love is very powerful, and the relationships I have with the people I love are very important to me. I think that it is a significant part of figuring out who I am and what I believe in, is maintaining the relationships I have with the people I love, in some cases while they are figuring out who they are and what they believe too. I don't believe in heaven, and I don't really believe that there is a God. I don't pray and that I don't ask God for things, but I do hope for things to turn out the way I want, either for myself or for others that I care about. I don't really think of it as praying. It's more of hoping that I have the strength to make a difference. Throughout my life, what I believe in is changing. There isn't a set thing I believe. It changes as I change. Of course, I'm physically changing and growing, but my thoughts and views on the world are changing too. I'm learning new things and seeing more of the world that I didn't before and learning about it. As a teenager, I make mistakes and I hope to learn from them. 10 years from now, I'll have more knowledge about the world and I'll believe in different things. On the solo at Dakota, I realized something about myself. I like having a combination of being alone and then being with other people. I enjoyed being able to think to myself and collect my thoughts while I was sitting out in the snow for 3 hours, and then being able to interact and talk to other people about it. When we all came back from our solos, we got into groups by gender. In the girls' group, on a piece of paper, we wrote down 3 words to describe what we wanted to be when we were older and threw them into the fire. The 3 words I chose were happy, healthy, and successful. By the time I find out who I am and what I believe, I want to be happy with my choices, live a healthy life, and be successful with what I love.
Good morning, I'm Nephi Wallace. 6 years ago, I sat in the pews and listened to my oldest sister, Kern, tell us about her beliefs and family. 4 years ago, I did the same listening to my sister, Lily. And 2 years ago, once again, I sat in the pews and listened to my sister, Charlotte. And now I'm standing up here to tell you my beliefs. I believe that our beliefs change throughout our lives. As we go through different stages in our lives, some things may seem more important than others. 3 main beliefs I have are honesty, always be kind, and mindfulness. I believe in honesty. When I was little, I was told that there was an Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and tons of other misconceptions brought on by society and my family. I also heard that there was this God. This God was our creator and had all these powers. I thought it was a bit of an absurd idea that this man or spirit or higher power or whatever he was so powerful and could do all of these incredible things. As I got older, I stopped believing in things like Santa Claus. I also became less convinced that God exists. I believe you should always be kind. My dad has always pursued this thought with me and my sister. He tells us, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it, and treat others the way you want to be treated. I didn't really understand these sayings when I was younger. They're always more like rules. But as I've grown older and seen the things people are capable of doing, good and bad, I've gained a better grasp on the 2 concepts my father has been teaching me for years. I believe in mindfulness. Mindfulness is a practice that we learn to consciously direct inner and outer experiences in the present moment. When I lose awareness and attention, I become disconnected with the center of myself. I lose energy and I stop living life to the fullest. When I'm mindful, I am more true to myself because I'm capable of staying centered. I don't get caught up with thoughts and feelings or roles in superficial stereotypes. I have more control over my life. I maintain focus, allowing me to maximize choices and opportunities. I create a sense of inner peace, inner strength, and inner happiness. I live in the moment rather than identifying myself with thoughts and emotions, impulses, or negative states of mind. Now I, the last of my family, will go out into the world keeping these 3 beliefs and many more close by with me.
My mother taught me to approach each situation first as a believer, to stand in someone else's place and see the world from their eyes, without bias or suspicion, but with respect, because there is something to be learned from every person, regardless of any mistakes they have made, so never hold your pride higher than the truth. My father taught me to approach second as a critic, to not blindly accept, but to ask questions, and not to look away when others are wrong, because one right answer does not validate the whole. So don't hold another person's judgment above honesty. My parents taught me how to learn, but my sisters taught me how to act. Claire stopped me from going to preschool in pajamas. She taught me to sit straight in a restaurant and how to wear fancy clothes. Adele told me to stop wearing mismatched socks with sandals. She taught me how to climb a tree and steal candy from the pantry without getting caught. But most importantly, my sisters called me out when I was unkind and dishonest. They told me when I was wrong, and they made me apologize. And then they forgave me. I would like to thank this congregation for being the kind of church that would ask us to come up here today and tell you what we believe. Because being UU doesn't only mean that I can believe whatever I want, but that what I believe matters.
It teaches me not only to be open and kind and accepting, but also to be passionate. I believe that faith is powerful, that it can give people hope and strength when things get hard. But personally, I don't believe that we were put here for a reason. I don't believe in one God or a million. My faith is in part logic. I know that if I don't do my part for the community that I live in, even when no one is watching, then I can't expect others to do the same for me. But my faith goes beyond that. I know that I'm more than a combination of elements. I know that my decisions are made by more than chemicals in my brain. I know because I have awareness and because I can think. And there's a part of me, beyond logic, that believes in a positive and a negative. And with everything I learn, I get closer to understanding the difference.
Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love, once said, "Happiness is the consequence of personal effort. You fight for it, strive for it, insist upon it, and sometimes even travel around the world looking for it." I believe in the power of happiness, and that happiness is a force much more powerful than any God could ever be. Many find happiness from the presence of God or another greater source, but while others find happiness in those around them. At this point in my life, I have a lot to think about, and questioning my beliefs, especially whether or not I believe in a God, is not something I want to decide right now. I want to live through more life experiences and more thoroughly understand all the different religions out there before choosing what I truly believe in. I believe that choosing one's religion is not a decision that anyone can make overnight, even in a matter of years. The one thing that I have noticed throughout the many different religions is how they find great happiness within whatever religion they are a part of. This happiness, gained by their hope in a greater power, leads to a better, more successful life. I think I do believe in a higher power, but the power of hope and happiness are the two most important forces in my life right now. Here in Concord, we live in a very privileged community with so much love, which leads to so much more happiness all around us. But others are not as lucky as us, and within impoverished areas, there are less resources, which leads to less happiness and a need for more hope. I think that happiness can be gained not only by belief, but even more by those around you. And happiness can be gained by giving to those less fortunate than everyone here who is so very lucky. Happiness is more easily chosen and gained than any other religion, and hope that everyone here can find some happiness or give someone else an excuse to be a little more happy today.
Hi, my name is Talia Smith. When we were told to write our credos, I really didn't know what to write. At that time, I didn't know what I believed in, but spending time with my family and community, I realized what I did believe in. Each day, we wake up, get dressed, and eat breakfast, then go about our normal days. It's the same routine over and over again. What we don't realize is that we're not doing things that are most important to us. We seem to put others before taking care of our own needs. Of course, it's good to help others, but it's also important to spend time doing and what we love to do. We worry about other people so much that it makes us so immersed in other people's problems and in what other people think of us that we don't have time to make meaningful connections. As a child, I was taught that meeting people's needs makes you a better person, but that's not the only thing we need to do. I believe that we need to take time for ourselves and not worry about other people's problems. As a 15-year-old UU, I know my beliefs will change over time, and spending time doing what I love will guide me to do what's right.
Hi, I'm Oliver. At the start of the program, we were told that we're going to write a credo at the end, and I didn't think it would be possible for me to write about what I believe, but after the solo retreat and many other things we did, I think I've come to a belief. I believe that there is a higher power, but it is different for everyone. Everyone chooses to believe in something, even those who believe in nothing. I have a belief that there is a certain higher force that exists for everyone. This force is based on a combination of many philosophies, like Taoism and Unitarian Universalism, because both of these philosophies encourage you to find yourself and go with the flow of life. The force is different for everyone, but similar in a certain way. It doesn't judge you and decide if you go to heaven or hell. It doesn't make you go through multiple lifetimes to achieve nirvana or make you meditate to find your inner self. The force simply guides you through life. The force helps you make the right decision that will help people around you, not just yourself. It's not a book or a scripture written 2,000 years ago that tells you how to live your life properly, or you will be internally condemned if you don't live it properly. It's something inside your head that teaches you to treat everyone around you with respect and equality. It allows you to make mistakes, because everyone does that, but it asks you to learn from them. The most important thing about the Force is that it makes you think for yourself. There's no sacred scripture or commandment to follow. There are just guidelines that the Force lays out for you. The rest of it, you have to figure out for yourself. Follow the Force.
Hi, I'm Adam. For my credo, I had no idea what to write. All I felt was sick on the solos, and I honestly didn't know what I believe. But then I was watching TV, and I heard something that really stuck to me, and that explains completely what I believe. This is a quote. This quote was said by Piper Chapman on the hit Netflix show, Orange is the New Black. I believe in science. I believe in evolution. I believe in Nate Silver and Neil deGrasse Tyson and Christopher Hitchens, although I do admit he can be kind of a jerk. I cannot get behind some supreme being who weighs in on the Tony Awards while a million people get whacked with machetes. I don't believe a billion Indians are going to hell. I don't think we get cancer to learn life lessons. And I don't believe that people die young because God needs another angel. I think it's just silly. And on some level, I think we all know that. I mean, don't you? Look, I understand that religion makes it easier to deal with all the random stuff that happens to us. And I wish I could get on that ride. I'm sure I would be happier, but I can't. Feelings aren't enough. I need it to be real. I would like to give a shout-out to Pam Howell for being there for me over all these years. You have made a real impact on my life, and I am so happy I got to know you. Hashtag blessed. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tucker Boynton. An empty canvas, an ice rink with a fresh coating of water on top, a beautifully groomed baseball diamond. These are all things I think of when I imagine opportunity. That's what life means to me. Every day is a chance to go out and do something great. Every moment is a chance to make a memory you'll never forget. On late January nights, I can stay in the backyard for hours on end, etching marks into the vast expanse of ice which inhabits our lawn in the wintertime. The trees, the stars, the intricate miniature structures of snowflakes swirling all around me. I know this cannot be by chance. I believe we as human beings have a responsibility to fill because we have been given this incredible gift of life. Everything about the world, even the struggle of humanity to find peace and coexist, holds beauty. I'm not sure if there's a God, but when I look up at the mountains in Virginia, each night as the Lord's Prayer plays at camp and darkness settles, and when I search the stars and their divine patterns in the sky on crisp winter nights, I'm thankful. This canvas, this fresh sheet of ice, or this beautiful baseball diamond, is the life we were born to grasp and make our own. Beliefs change, people change, places change, and life changes. And the beautiful smattering of colors on the canvas, and the swirling skate blade patterns, and the torn up grass, and the dirt stains are a reflection of this. Life is a beautiful thing, and it's a constant search for answers. But you don't have to have all the answers. That's the beauty. Our job is not to figure everything out. Our job is to enjoy the life gifted to us and to spread that joy. That is why I believe in making the most of every day, because we only have 28,000 days to make a difference. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Henry Nelson. When I think of divine, I think of nature. To other people, when you say spiritual, most of them probably do not think of the outdoors. But when I hear it, I picture crashing waves or a swaying forest. This is because I think for something to be spiritual to you, it has to bring a sense of wonder and amazement. And this is what nature brings to me. I love the national parks. My family and I have been to 8 of them, and each has been magnificent and breathtaking in its own unique way. These are also the places where I have solidified my beliefs. And I am thankful that we have been to a range of parks because the difference has brought a sense of similarity to me. Whether I was counting down until Old Faithful would erupt or watching the first sunrise on Cadillac Mountain, I thought the same thing. I was feeling this spiritual sense of wonder. Staring up the 8,839-foot-tall face of Half Dome, I cannot but help to ask how and marvel at the power of Mother Nature. And this is why being Unitarian Universalist is so great. Something like this can be your belief. In our faith, there is a lot that is up for your interpretation. As a UU, it is important to believe what feels right to you and not just believe something that other people say you should. You need to blaze your own trail for something to fit to you. And any time I'm outside, I feel at peace with myself. The outdoor fits to me. And that is why I believe that nature is truly divine.
Hi, I'm Leah Scarzi. I believe in embracing our differences and challenging ourselves to express who we truly are. It is easy to fall into acting a way that is socially normal or to feel obligated to do the things that your peers do. A quote by Waldo Emerson says, "To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment." By taking the easy way out and simply fitting in, you are also taking away the happiness that comes from being yourself. You are going through life with your hands on either side of your face, only looking at what is in front of you, not opening up to the world around you. It is important to put your hands down and step back to see the diversity of life that is surrounding you. Many of us follow our peers on a path that they are taking so that we don't get lost. We walk on their footsteps because it's easier than walking on untouched ground, not knowing where it will lead us. But by going where no one else has gone, you will find something that no one else has found because it is unique to you. You will find understanding of who you really are by doing what drives you. Although you may stumble on some rocks or fall in a few ditches, creating your own path will lead you to happiness. In order to make the most of your life, don't waste time being other people. As Robert Frost said, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
Hi, I'm Talia Ailey, and I'm the last one to go, so bear with me here. I do not believe that there is a point to our existence. I'm not saying that to be pessimistic or cynical, but I would be lying to you if I said that I thought there was some divine plan for us, that the footprint we leave behind will forever impact those that come after us. But there was a time before the Homo sapiens, and there will be a time after. Oblivion is truly inevitable. This abrupt fact of life frightens a lot of people, but I don't think it should. I've spent a lot of time wondering about why and how humans are here and what we are supposed to be doing. But there is no supposed. We were put here on this earth without any guidelines as to what we are doing here and not given a plan or a reason as to why. As much as we would prefer not to admit it, we are microscopic in this ever-expanding universe, and as hard as we try, our impact will not reach that whole space. But that's okay. Our lives are in our hands, and that cannot be taken away from any of us. We may not have a reason for being here, but we do have a reason to live. This life that we have been given is for us as individuals. We take the reins in the decisions made. Yes, we mess up, but that just helps to shape the undeniable beauty of it. We do the best with what we have been given, and we roll with it. This, I believe, is the purpose of life. It does not matter that we will not be remembered however long from now, as long as we live the life we are given to its fullest potential. We go out and we take that risk, help that person, support our families, and just live. We do our best to find the things that will make our lives the most meaningful to us, not to the person we are hoping will remember us at some point in the future. So, how does this apply to me and my life? I've been very fortunate. I was able to find my passion at a very young age, and since then have stuck with it. I found that once I discovered what it was that made me tick, that gave me a reason to put my all into the opportunities I was given, and just makes life worth living, the hardships and curveballs that were thrown at me were easier to deal with, that no matter what is going on in my life, I always have horses to turn to. It is truly an incredible feeling. I've made a decision that I'm going to do my best to make the most of every moment life gives me, because that's all life is, a string of moments that turn into memories. I think that if we all focused a little less on the impact we are going to make or the amount of people that will end up remembering us, then we'll all be a lot happier. Stop zeroing in on what the future will hold and focus on the now, because now is amazing.